Thank God. Well, we've been talking about reviewing on faith, and we got into how to turn your faith loose last week, and that's where we're going to pick up. Let's turn over to Romans 10:10, and we'll start there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And while you're going there, turn over to Mark 11. I know we've gone over these a number of times. I want to start there and go forward. Romans 10 and Mark 11. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. We're all there, Romans 10. Romans 10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now turn over to, hold your finger there in case we have to come back, but turn over to Mark 11. 23 says, "For assuredly," first of all, 22 says, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Notice that. We read in Romans 10:10 that it's with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and it's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. And here in Mark 11, Jesus says that if you'll say to the mountain, you can tell where a person is at on the inside by what they say, by what comes out of your mouth. Because if you believe, whatever you believe is going to come out of your mouth at some point. And your believing is going to be affected by the way you think. And your thinking, if your thinking is wrong, your believing is going to be wrong. And if your believing is wrong, your saying is going to be wrong. And it's going to come out of your mouth. And sometimes we try to go down the stream, and people just try to have a good confession, but there's nothing on the inside. But when you hear the word and faith rises up in your heart, we need to turn our faith loose by speaking it, saying it. Say what you believe in spite of what you see or you feel, what it looks like. That is called faith. And your words determine where you're going to go. They have everything to do with the direction you're taking. What we say. If our thinking's messed up, we need to get our mind renewed to the Word of God, which is what we're doing. The more you get your mind renewed, the more you understand what is truth, because this Word is truth. The more you understand that, then it changes the way you perceive things, what you believe about your surroundings and about the world. And as your believing changes, you start saying things different. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If you're saying, no, this is going to turn around. Two people could have the same circumstance, and one could say, oh, there's no way we're going to make it through this. There's no way. This is going down. This is going nowhere. I don't see how we're going to make it out. And another person could be in the same circumstance, but believe something different and say, this isn't the end. We're coming out of this. We're going up. You watch, God is going to come through and give all glory to God and start speaking the word. And the circumstances can be identical, but it comes back to what does a person believe? And how do we release our faith? By speaking the word. Speaking, if you speak, it's an indication that you're believing. There, so many people, is so they take sides against the Word of God, and then they expect to still receive from God. You cannot take sides against the Word of God and expect God to work with you, because God is His Word. We have reverence for the Word. You can't on one end start going against the Word and say, well, I just don't know how this, or I don't know that. And yet at the same time, you're expecting God to work with you, but you're taking sides against Him, saying there's no way He's going to come through. People won't say that, but they'll complain, or they'll say, well, I just don't know. I don't know how this is going to happen. I just don't feel good. I don't see how we're going to get the money. And you're talking and talking and taking sides against what God said. And if God said something, then we ought to take sides with Him and say, that's the way it is, whether we see it or not. Otherwise, I don't think we realize this, that we're aligning ourselves against Him, against His Word. And this isn't to say that somehow He's against us. The whole thing is that God has provided things, provided for us in Jesus. And what we need to do is go, yeah, what He said, that's right. I believe that, and let that flow into our life. When we go against it and say, I don't know how, then His power can't come through, because we're basically declaring defeat. We're declaring that we can't. We're declaring that there's no way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, people can do that unconsciously. Some people, through ignorance, are taking sides against the Word because they don't know any better. But then there's just times, I mean, you can know better, but basically you don't feel like it. And that's when the rubber meets the road. We could preach in here, we could all be nodding our head and saying, oh, yeah, yeah. But we all know. It's when we feel and we see that it does not look like it at all, what God's Word says, and we're going, it's so tempting at that point to say, but I don't see it, I don't feel it. And just to make, we're basically, we comfort ourselves by saying, well, I'm just speaking the truth, I'm just speaking what I see, and I expect God to come in and help me anyway. I want Him to help me, but right now I just want to say what I feel and see, because, darn it, I feel like it, and it hurts, or I don't know where the money is, and this circumstance isn't like I want it to be, so I might as well just speak it out. That is exactly the time we need to speak God's Word and say, no, this is what He said. Somebody said it like this. Somebody, you know, we turn over to Romans 4. Let's turn over to Romans 4. Thank God. Romans 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's our God. He called Abraham, Abraham, which means father of many nations, before he had anybody. He didn't say, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. But it doesn't look like that. Most people could say, well, God's lying about it. No, God knows something that we don't know. And so when we are faced with something that looks contradictory, we are acting like him when we agree with him. If he said something about our condition, if he said that we are healed, that Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, then we need to call ourselves in line with what he said. call ourselves well and say, no, I am healed. Call it healed. And somebody started to say this. What so many of us, so many people do, Christians do, is that they're saying what they have instead of saying what God says they have. So they're saying what they have now instead of what the Word says they have. That'd be like, and then they say, well, I don't want to speak what isn't true. But that'd be like if you had a dog. You don't call the dog when he's sitting right next to you. Say his name's Smokey. If he's sitting right next to you and you're going, hey, Smokey's sitting right there wagging his tail looking up. What are you talking about? Hey, Smokey. That's not the time you need to call the dog. If the dog is somewhere else, and, you know, we used to have a dog named Muffy when I was growing up. And she would get on a scent of something and she'd be, you know, up the neighbor. We lived in a cul-de-sac and there was a hill, block long or so. And she would just tear up and we wouldn't know where she went. And we'd go out there, hey, Muffy! Muffy, come home! Muffy! Well, if I'm out there calling my dog and somebody said, why are you calling your dog? Well, she's not here. Why are you calling your dog? Well, that's why I'm calling her. Somebody said, well, why are you calling her? She's not here. Why are you calling her? That's why I'm calling her, because I want her here. And this is what people do. You say, I call myself well. I say I'm redeemed. I say I'm free. People say, why you do that? That's not true. That's what I want to come into my life, and God said it's true, so that's what I believe I'm going to see. This is the way God works. You don't call the thing that you don't need to call it when it's there. You need to call it when it's not there. You need to say what God says when you don't see it and you don't feel it. That's called faith. If it's already there, it's not faith. You don't need to believe something that is already here. You need to believe when you don't see it. That's when you call those things that be not as though they were. This is how we release our faith. It doesn't matter. You say, I believe. And then you stand there and you spit out exactly what you feel. And you sit there and you spit out exactly what the circumstances look like. That's not faith. That you can say, well, I'm believing. I just have to call it like I see it. If that's what's coming out of your mouth, that's what you really believe. Because if we'll get our mouth lined up with the Word of God and start speaking His Word, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't see it, you'll start hearing it. And you'll hear it there, and you're releasing your faith. You're putting it. You're activating it by saying that. There's something about confessing that releases our faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. I want to read a couple things about confession. So like we said, thinking, believing, and confessing or saying in line with the Word, they all go together. They all go together, they're intermingled. And like we talked about, I don't think we really talked about this last review, but we talked about it like in the spring. Confession a lot of times has a negative connotation, like, well, I confess to the crime or I confess my sin. But what we're talking about is the positive side of confession. And there is a positive side of confession. So confession has several things that we could say. Our confessions that we say should center around several basic scriptural truths. Number one, what God has done for us through Christ in His plan of salvation. What God has done, these are what our confessions should center around as we're saying it in line with God's Word. What God has done for us through Christ in His plan of salvation. Number two, what God has done in us by the Word and the Holy Ghost in the new birth and in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. What God has done in us by the Word and the Holy Ghost in the new birth and in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Number three, who we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Who we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. And number four, what Jesus is presently doing for us at the right hand of the Father. What Jesus is presently doing for us at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. What Jesus is presently doing for us at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. And number five, what God can accomplish through us, or what His Word can accomplish through us as we proclaim it. What God can accomplish through us, or what His Word can accomplish through us as we proclaim it. I'll run through those really quick. Number one, what God has done for us through Christ and His plan of salvation. Number two, what God has done in us by the Word and the Holy Ghost in the new birth and in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Number three, who we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Number four, what Jesus is presently doing for us at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. And number five, what God can accomplish through us, or what His Word can accomplish through us as we proclaim it. Those are the things that we ought to center up on. We ought to be speaking these things out. What God has done for us through Jesus. What the Word, what God has done for us in the Word, who we are to God, the Father, in Christ Jesus, what Jesus is presently doing for us, and what God can accomplish through us. When we speak in line with those things, what we are, when we say, this is who I am in Christ, this is true in Christ, when we say, this is what the Father believes about me, how He loves me because of what Jesus has done, this is what happened in the new birth. When you say, this is what God's going to do through us, this is what He has planned for us, and this is going to happen, and what Jesus is doing for us at the right hand of the Father, when we keep our confession centered up on those things, even just talking about it, even me saying those things right now, your spirit is being quickened because that's in line with the Word. We're agreeing with the Word. We're saying, no, Jesus has accomplished for us. Jesus is doing for me. The Father has accepted me. When I was born again, this has happened. And what God is going to do for us, you start speaking in line with Him, there is power in that. Just faith rises up in you. Thank God. Mark 16, 15 through 18. Let's go turn over there, Mark 16. Thank God. Mark 16, 15. It says, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every preacher, or to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. These signs will follow those who believe. these signs will follow the preaching of the word. So verse 20, go down to verse 20. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The Lord working with them. You notice that's italicized. Read it without italicized. I'm not saying it should be or shouldn't be there, but it makes sense either way. The Lord working with and confirming the word. You could read it that way. He is working with and confirming the word. That's what the Lord worked. That's true either way. It's with the word that he works. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The Lord confirms his word. As we preach and speak the word, that's what he's going to back up. He's going to back up the preaching of his word. He's not going to back up our tradition. He's not going to back up, you know, what we think we heard somebody else say. He's not going to back up what you heard some preacher say. Unless it's based on the word, and unless you can base it on what the truth that's in the word and bring it back to his word, that's what's going to produce fruit. And that's what we ought to confess, are things that are based on the truth that we have and say, this is who I am, because that's the only place the power is. See, there's power in the word of God. And so if he said something, when we release it out of our mouth and say, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be in my life. That's when something changes. Hallelujah. Thank God. I heard an account of a lady that she was a minister. She had been a minister, and I can't remember how old she was, but she was up in age, and she was very weak. And she had cancer, and she was just very weak. And a certain minister went to talk to her, and as he was, she just said, came up and whispered in his ear, And she was a word of faith, had heard the word of faith, knew of faith, but she just needed to be reminded of some things. The minister said, this is what I want you to say. Say this after me. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. She said, I'm strong. Power of his might. And he said, say it again. She goes, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he said, say it again. And she started to say it again. And he said, they stood there for 45 minutes. And say, by the end of it, she was shouting it. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It started rising up in her. And he said, now, say this. When I eat, I keep food down. When I eat, I keep food down. She said, I know. I try to eat, but it comes up. He said, no. When I eat, I keep food down. I want you to say that every time you go to eat. I want you to say it when you get done throwing up. When you wipe your mouth off. I want you to get up and say, I said, when I eat, I keep food down. And you keep on it. And you keep saying it, that is exactly when you need to say it the most, is when you just puked your guts out. People say, well, it's obviously not working. No, that's exactly when we need to speak the word and confess the word, when it completely looks like it's not working. Hallelujah. That lady Some time later, this minister ran to somebody and said, "What?" They came up to him and said, "Did you hear about Sister So-and-so?" He said, "No." He said, "She's gained 30 pounds and she looks great." And he said, "Well, she might want to back off that confession about now." But over and over, I've read accounts of people that just releasing their faith through the word, through saying the word. There was another man, similar type of situation, had endeavored to, I can't remember the exact condition he had. It was something to do with his heart, and his heart was very weak, and just very sickly and weak, and he had endeavored to get people to pray for him and all this, and just person after person, and he made up his mind. I can't remember the exact details of his story. He went out to this bush that was near his house, but it was a ways down the road. It was in the country, and he said, "I am going to pray until I get healed, until I just come back. Either I'm going to die, I'm going to pray, or whatever." And he went out there, and the devil told him, "You've done it now. Nobody can see you here, and you're going to be too weak to get back." And he realized when he started to pray, he said, "If prayer was going to do this, I would have already been healed. I've had everybody I know pray for me. Prayer isn't going to do it. That's not where I'm missing it." And so he started just thanking God for his healing and started just praising God and saying that he was healed and thanking God that it was true. And within 2 hours, by the end of that, he was up shouting and praising God, and they could hear him a ways away, and he was completely healed, and he came back all the way in his own strength and was healed. So many times we are waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for something to happen instead of turning our faith loose and saying, "I have it now. I'm going to believe it now before I see anything." When the circumstances look bad, when they don't look like God's word's working at all. Hallelujah. There's a, Brother Hagin was telling an account of this woman in his church that was this, this lady came up to me or came up to him, and he was talking about who we are in Christ and what is ours and all that. And the lady came up to him and said, "I'm not seeing what God has promised in my life. I'm just not seeing it." And he said, "Well, are you confessing it? Are you speaking what he said?" And she said, "Well, no, because I don't have it. It's obviously not true." And he said, "Well, but you need to confess it, and you need to act on it in spite of that when you don't see it. Because God said it is true." And she said, "Well, it's clear that I don't have it. I don't have it. It's clear that it's not here for me." And he looked at her and said, "Well, you or God, one of you is lying and is wrong, because God said you do have it." And she said, "But I clearly don't have it." And Brother Hagin said, "No wonder." He goes, "You know, if your mother was here and you called her a liar to your face, that wouldn't make her feel very good, and wouldn't make you feel very good." He says, "No wonder you feel like you do. I mean, you're basically calling God a liar to his face and saying, that's not true. It's not true in my life. And it won't be true in your life as long as you take sides against him. And when he says something's true and you say, but I don't see it, you're taking sides against him. You have to change it. And she just walked away mumbling, but it's not true. And you can't, as long as we take sides against him, because this is where it's so tempting to be and where many believers are. It doesn't matter if it's tempting. We are, God said he would not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. So that is no excuse to say, I just couldn't help it. No, then God's a liar. It's when we are faced with temptation that we get up and instead of putting it back, you know, he's saying it's true, you're saying it's not, we line up with him and say, you said it's true, I agree with that, and this is the way it's going to be in my life, when you don't see anything that backs that up. We stand up and say, God said this, and that's what I believe. Now, I believe it now. I'm acting on it now. Not when I see it, not when I feel it. Now I'm healed. Hallelujah. Now God's word's true. Why don't you turn over to Colossians 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians 1. God is so faithful. Colossians 1, verse 13. I'm going to read you several scriptures that talk about or infer something about our rights and privileges in Christ. When we're saying these things, we're confessing, we are affirming and testifying and witnessing to the validity and the truth of God's word. We're saying, yep, that's true. Yep, that's true. God, I believe it. I believe what you said. It's going to be that way in my life. I will see it. I will see it. This is the way it is. This is what your word said. See, we are testifying that his word is true on the stand of our life. And we get on that stand every single day. And when we are on the stand, and what we say is going to determine what we have. When we say, I can't do it, I'm not going to make it, I don't know how this is going to change, we are declaring that's the way it's going to be. But when we say, God, I've witnessed to the fact that your word is true, that gives him an avenue, that releases our faith and releases the power of God to bring that very thing to pass. Colossians 1:13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Notice that. He has delivered us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That means when you think the devil tries to put thoughts in your head, oh, he's just so bad and he's just beating you up and he's just after you and he, you know, just going to take you down. That doesn't line up with this. It says he has delivered us. What tense is that? It's past tense. He has. That means right now, am I delivered? See, a lot of people would say, if they're facing something, no. No, I still have it. I don't know. No, what God said, though, is that he has delivered us. So who's right? When Abraham was Abram and didn't have a son, and God said, I have made you a father of many nations, but he doesn't have a son, who's right? Are the circumstances right? Or is God right and the circumstances are about to change? Hallelujah. The circumstances have to change. Because God's higher than anything. So when he says he has delivered us from the power of darkness, that means I'm delivered. So many people are going around trying to get delivered from the devil, looking for somebody that has the power, that has the anointing to get delivered. Now, I'm not against deliverance. There is such a ministry. Yes, there is. But the highest thing is if we realize we've been delivered and declare, I'm free. Because it doesn't matter how many people pray for you, if you believe you're bound, you're bound. But if we believe we're free, then we're free. Nothing, the devil cannot hold us back, because in verse 13 here it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us. Turn over to 1 John 4:4 real quick. First John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. What? See, we have overcome. What is he talking about? He's talking about evil spirits. Just look at it in context. Verse 2 said, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It says, we have overcome. Past tense. We have. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Couple more. Real quick. Turn over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a promise of God. And so, notice he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. See, I am with you. It doesn't matter if we feel like he's with us or not. If we'll say, God is with me. God is for me. God is my God. He said, I will strengthen you. We draw on that strength. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So when somebody says, I just feel so all alone, God said, no, I'm with you. He said, I don't know how, I'm so weak. I feel so weak. God said, I'll strengthen you. So what should we say? God, I'm strong with you. Say, I don't know how I'm going to get anywhere. I don't know. I don't have any help. God said, I will help you. He said he would uphold us with his righteous right hand. It's when we speak these things out. We speak those words out and say, God, I believe I'm strong. I believe you're helping me. I believe that you're upholding me. And we speak those things out and put them and testify that those things are the truth in our life. Is when they're activated, they're quickened, and we see God's word come to pass in our life. But when we say, I don't know where God is. I sure feel weak today. I just don't know if I'm going to make it today. See, we're going against him. I don't know how I'm going to make it. He said he would uphold you. But I don't know how I'm going to make it. But he said he would uphold you, but I don't know how I'm going to make it. See, we're going like this. Your confession has everything to do, but you turn it around and start saying, he's going to uphold me. Oh, so many times if we'll just keep our mouth shut when we want to say something. You want to say, oh, I'm so tired. Don't say I'm so tired. I know sometimes you feel like it, but it's amazing how if you won't say, if instead of saying, I'm so tired now. Boy, it's if you say that, even if you were just a little bit tired, all of a sudden you start getting really tired. Your body just lines up with it and says, okay, I'm tired. Yeah, we're tired. We're tired. Oh, we just want to get in bed. But if you'll say you feel like you're really tired, I'm not saying we shouldn't get sleep. But I'm saying when you need strength and you need to make it through and you shouldn't be that tired, and you say, instead of saying, oh, I'm just so tired, you say, I'm strong in the Lord. He said he would strengthen me. Lord, I thank you that I'm strong. You said you would uphold me, so I just thank you that I have strength and you're upholding me to make it through this day. You said you would strengthen me. And we start acting like that, change. Amazing how God will sustain us and he'll help us through and he'll get us where we need to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.